This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig Hoffman.
And Logan's talked about this a lot on our podcast, On Take Command.
The Hoffman Show.
Available wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app.
Ding!
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. By the way, Max is in for Anthony today. Do you like the Mad Max nickname that the Rooster self-proclaimed nickname has given you?
It's definitely not the first time I've heard the Mad Max nickname. It goes all the way back to when I was like 7 years old playing football. So I've heard it forever.
But do you like it? That was my question.
I don't hate it, Max. It's okay. Good.
Hey, if you like it, then like that's fine. I'm not trying to tell you it's a bad nickname by any means, but I don't want to be like, it's Mad Max, and secretly you're like, oh God, another.
No, I'm not like that at all.
Did Chris Russell ask you, or did he just start calling you Mad Max?
He just, you know, Chris, he just, you know, goes with whatever comes naturally.
Yeah, he's just a man who rolls.
That's right.
Chris sometimes is a ready, aim, fire guy.
I'd say more than sometimes.
Or sorry, ready, fire, aim. That's the saying.
Yeah.
When you get it in the wrong order.
I see what you're saying.
That's the Rooster sometimes. Ready, fire, aim. Oh, no. Whoopsie daisies.
Just occasionally, yeah.
Whoopsie daisies. Sometimes it feels like officials do that too. Wow, ooh. What a professional transition.
That's good.
So there's the NFL is making some rule changes, and it's. I feel like we spend so much of our time bashing the NFL because they do a lot of silly stuff sometimes, or they do a lot of silly stuff. Period. But as a fan of other sports as well, Mad Max, I actually think that the NFL might have the best replay system in sports, the more that I think about it. Because I think the NFL has, by and large, done a good job of keeping game flow. Yes, yeah. When the referee has to go to the monitor, it does slow the game down. But the NFL is also a game that has stoppages. And so I think even like on TV, sometimes it feels like it's taking forever, and sometimes it really does. And in stadium, as someone who covers games live, like it can feel like it's taking forever. But as someone who watched a ton of college basketball this week, watched a decent amount of NBA ball, and is a soccer fan, and this is the icing on the cake.
Oh, yeah.
And by icing, I mean like an anvil on top that crushes your cake. Just imagine what would happen if like an anvil cartoon style just smashed a perfectly soft, delicious cake. Oh, so
walls
sad
covered.
For that cake.
Yeah.
That is what happened, for instance, specifically to the Washington Spirit game this weekend. Saturday night, they were facing Kansas City, and there were three VAR reviews in the second half within like a 20-minute span.
Oh, boy.
That was we were probably talking about 10 minutes of dead time.
That's wow.
It was awful. And by the way, they also, the NWSL has this very dumb rule now, for whatever reason. I don't know whether it's technological capabilities or whatever. They don't show the replays in the stadium.
What?
And so we're sitting there in our seats as fans or as press members up in the booth being like, we don't even know what they're reviewing. And it turns out there was one of the goals they called off. They were initially reviewing it for offsides, mm-hmm. and they called off the goal for a foul away from the play. They're like, oh, Trinity Rodman was onsides, but Tara McKeown pushed someone over there. No goal. So, NWSL. I almost actually just flipped off the camera that I remembered that while the camera is not regulated by the FCC, that is not within our brand standard. So I imagine.
Good on you.
Imagine what's behind there.
Read between the lines.
Fist. It's a fist because I'm a good boy. FCC bosses, everyone who could make me lose my job. But like sitting through that was horrendous, awful. And these college basketball reviews that we've talked about this week on the show, just absolutely horrendous. And the fact that the NFL is like, oh, we finally figured this out. Replay assist.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's New York. Like, I think one of the silliest things, like, I have friends that love baseball. And they're like baseball peers. Clint Yates and I, this would be, if we ever really got into this argument, could ruin our friendship. He hates the idea of robot umps. I don't understand why they're not in the game.
I'm all in.
Like all in on the robot umps?
Oh, yeah. The quick, like, tap on the helmet, like, check that. And then, boom. Ball strike. All right, you know. Reset the count. Let's go.
If I know the pitch from ESPN's K-Tracker thing.
Yeah.
Missed a foot outside. Why is it still a strike? What are we doing?
The MLB Umpires Union is one of the strongest in the country.
We can still have him for out safe calls. They can still be back there. They can still signal.
Fine by me.
Strike. But like, we don't need, it's a human element. The humans that I want deciding the games wear player uniforms, not umpire outfits.
Correct.
Not referee outfits. And it's another thing too. I'm excited to talk about this on the women's soccer show tomorrow that I do on YouTube, with my guy Andre Carlisle, because I heard him talking about this game on his other podcast, Hey Spirits. And he's like, I want the players to decide the game. I don't want the refs to decide the game. And
absolutely.
What my only pushback to that is the referees are always going to help decide the game. But I want them to decide the game by enforcing the rules correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that the game, like, you are there to administer the game, right? And so, yes, in a late game, like in the Maryland, let's pretend for a second, like all the old people yelling are right and that Derek Queen traveled, okay? It's actually by rule, by what Gene Steratore said on TV, not a travel. Because he was bobbling the ball by the time he fully gathered. He then took the step and a half, and he's allowed to do that. So, yes, he took multiple steps between the time that he picked up his dribble, like stopped dribbling, and when he released the ball for the shot. But there is a bobble in there before the gather, which makes that legal. So pretend for a second, though, that it was a travel. And then you have the argument of, do we want referees inserting themselves in the game?
Mm.
Well, you can't call a travel there. It's the last shot. Okay. Well, by not calling the travel, you're also affecting the game just as evenly, but in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And so to me, like that's the thing with like the robot umps or whatever with these calls is, like, I want the referee's impact of changing the outcome of the game minimized. That's the best way I can think of mm-hmm. to put it right now. And so if, for instance, in soccer, we can have someone in New York or for the EPL in London or wherever MLS is headquartered, wherever they are, like, pick your league, pick their headquarters, the French league, en Paris, to get on a telecommunication system with a referee and be like, hey, Dingus, you missed the call. It should be this. You know, hey, the contact on Ashley Hatch in the Spirit game on Saturday night started outside the box. It shouldn't have been a penalty. It's a free kick. It's, you know, just outside the box where the contact was initiated. Great. Video assistant referee has told us that the call was made incorrectly on the field. It has been corrected to this. And it can happen relatively quickly. If you want the ref, if it's a little unsure and you have to have the referee go to the monitor, fine. Same thing in basketball. And by the way, in basketball, we don't need CENTCOM. That's probably a bad thing to bring up right now, considering the news. We're just going to keep blowing by it. Max, quit laughing. Quit laughing. Max. Thank you. We don't need a central command somewhere. We just need the fourth official that's being paid to be there to sit in front of a bleeping monitor. Like, they can be like, hey, Harvey, we missed that call. Foul was on X, or it was out of bounds on Y. We missed it on the floor. Let's get it corrected. Okay. We don't need the three referees to all look at the monitor and agree, which is apparently the standard. You wonder why we have a game flow delay problem. What are we doing? And so to see the NFL be like, hey, we know how to do this. We got a bunch of referees sitting in a room in New York with every camera angle imaginable on every game, working with our broadcast partners in their super high-definition 4K cameras, and we can see everything from anywhere, and we'll fix it like that and not affect the game flow for a game that already has more stoppages than the other games? Seems like a good job. So that was a long rant to say, good job, NFL. You did something right for a change. Please, please, for the love of God, pass this. Watch them now, Max. Watch them not pass this, and I'm just going to have to take all that back.
Well, you can give credit to the XFL, because they are the ones who shed light on all of this to show us how easy it is.
The DC Defenders returning to an Audi field near you.
That's right.
All right, when we get back, Dave Johnson is going to join us here on a Wizards game day live from Philadelphia. But first, the latest on the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you wanna at Wawa with customizable, crispier roasted chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. Dave Johnson's with us from Philadelphia, where tonight the Wizards will take on the Sixers. Dave, how you doing, sir?
You know, I'm looking at the court that says Spectrum, which is not obviously where we're playing, because the Spectrum no longer exists here in Philadelphia, but they're wearing their City Edition uniforms and a throwback court. If for people out there of the 70s NBA, Dr. J into the 80s generation, you remember that Spectrum court, because it was instead of just a bland circle in the middle, because Spectrum, it had orange, red, green, and blue colors, and it brings back a lot of memories. But I checked the Philadelphia roster. Dr. J is not walking through the doors tonight. That'll be the big question, is who plays for the Sixers, because we were thinking about this matchup. You know, the Wizards, a lot of promise, a lot of young players. The Sixers were built to win now, and they're not.
It is a terrifying tale, right, Dave? If we think about the context of what the Wizards are trying to do, and there's so much remnants of the process. And the thing about what Philadelphia did, actually, we were having this conversation earlier today on the show. I did a big sit-down, Sam Fortier. Actually, he came over to my house, Dave, because I have enough of a home studio that I've got enough microphones for two of us. And so Sam and I were talking about team building, and we were talking about how Daryl Morey was covering like in depth, I think wrote a book on the Sixers when they embarked on the process, said that like they kind of messed up the veterans part. That one of the things that I know Will and Michael have cared a lot about is the guys that have been here to guide the young guys. And when the Sixers did that, it didn't work out for them because some of their young guys went the way that NBA players can go, where the money and all of that becomes too much and just bad decisions are made and then they're out of the league. But at the same time, they've also been a 50-win team a bunch of years in a row because they took so many shots in the lottery. They got Joel Embiid, and he was the best player on the planet there for a while until whatever's gone wrong with his knees. So when you take both the need to try to acquire an Embiid-like talent, hopefully whoever the Wizards get can have a better run of luck, but also some of the little things along the way, like what are you seeing down the stretch here for how those two things are maybe coming together?
Well, you know, I think what we keep looking at is when the Wizards make deals, they're not hamstringing themselves for the future. It is about having assets, having draft picks, and having, by the way, young players that are hit. And that includes, quite frankly, as I keep watching A.J. Johnson play, when you think about this Wizards rookie class, It contains four first-round picks that are getting significant playing time. But your point is well taken about in terms of it. And we've talked about this, and I've said this over and over again. It's not as simple, and that's why the tanking phrase really doesn't work. It's not like you go into a season and say, "All right, let's try to lose all 82, or let's try to go 5-77, or whatever." That's not going to get you to where you need to, be. And then you know it's you're going to have to trade well. It just doesn't happen where your whole team is homegrown and of all draft picks, and that doesn't happen with any team. So you look at the Spurs teams. Yeah, we credit their drafting of Duncan and Robinson and should, but also how that franchise then complemented them. So the NBA of all the leagues, I think, is in some ways the hardest to build a contender, in part because of the contracts. We talk about this, and you spend more time in the NFL than I do, but, correct me if I'm wrong, but just the bonuses are guaranteed. So you can have a three-year contract, but, they say you're not performing, you're gone. That doesn't happen, in the NBA. And baseball is a whole different animal where, you have more players involved. It helps the draft Steven Strasburg or whatever, but you're developing so many players that nobody heard of through a farm system. And quite frankly, now we've gotten more of that now in the NBA, and we're seeing, this G League business. And when I say G League business, years ago when we started this, and I remember somebody coming to me saying, "Well, I don't get it. Why are they spending this much money just for some guy who's going to, sit on the end of the bench or whatever?" Well, that's now the G League has evolved, and it's quite frankly, it coincided with, you don't have the college as, when we were growing up, the college was the G League, if you will,
right?
Because players stayed 4 years; they weren't 18 and 19. This is my 28th season doing this. The 18 and 9-year-olds, the Tracy McGrady's, or whoever I'm leaving out, those are rare situations. So it's part of the evolution of how you build a team is, you also want to, find a Justin Champagne in the G League. I'm not saying that, I don't think you're going to find the next superstar in the G League, but again, you don't win with 10 superstars. It's gotta be a fit and a compliment and a team. The truth of that is there have been teams when you said, "Well, look, on paper, they're going to win the whole thing." And they don't. So yes, you do need generational players. Ask Alex Ovechkin, helps to win a Stanley Cup, or ask the Caps fans, to have a generational player. Although in hockey, you can, I think, with the nature of that sport, and that's where their playoffs so, intriguing, because there always seems to be some team that comes out of nowhere because of a hot goaltender or whatever, and that just doesn't happen in the NBA.
No, for sure. I mean, you can get a guy that gets hot and wins you a couple playoff games, but in the 4 out of 7 NBA basketball, the best team, as long as they're healthy, tends to win. Dave, wrapping up here with Dave Johnson, just real quick, like looking at the box score from the other night, and the number that stands out to me is 19. That's the number of shots Alex Saar took. And I think it's fascinating to think back, because at first I was going to ask you, like, could you imagine at the beginning of the year Alex Saar taking 19 shots at a game? But then I think to that infamous start to his career in Summer League last year where he kept shooting. And went, what was it, 0-14 or whatever it was, and everyone's like, "Oh God!" And then he's turned out he's going to make first team All NBA. He's had a really excellent year, and he's just shown a lack of fear, especially for someone who's 19 years old. So when you've seen how Alex's game has developed, specifically on the offensive side, I think we knew that there would be really special moments on the defensive side, such as the 3-block sequence that he had in Toronto. But when you think of what he's become, specifically just Alex as an offensive player, what really stands out to you about that now that we have almost the full arc of his season?
Well, it's because of how we've decided to rebuild or to go through the process, which I hate to use that term process, because Philly used it, it didn't work out so well, but as we've gone through the season, we said the young guys are going to play. So with that comes confidence. With that comes I see Alex Starr more aggressive, attacking, welcoming contact as he goes to the basket. He wasn't doing that at the start of the season. He'd make great spin moves into the paint, get down toward the restricted arc, and then go into a fade. And this is something Chris Wright, you know, former Georgetown player, part of our radio broadcast team, played in the NBA briefly, pointed out. He said, wow, I wish I was playing on this team as a young player right now, because he's not looking over his shoulder. He can try. Players can try things and do things and not worry about the bench about to pull him out of games. And so I think that is a good point that Chris made, and I think it needs to be emphasized. Alex Starrs, above Karen, they know they're going to start. That doesn't mean, they relax at all. It's competition for spots, and they've rotated and et cetera. But, you know, think about all your jobs. Think about if I know, and people listening to this, if you know your boss has confidence in you, you know that you can make mistakes or try things without worrying about getting pulled out of a game or getting fired. So, I think that's a big part of why you're seeing improvement of every player that is getting this kind of playing time. I mean, either, if you don't go on a high trajectory when you're averaging, my goodness, 25 to 30 minutes a game, that means we've already discovered you don't belong in the league. And that's not the case with this group.
Dave Johnson will be on the call tonight from Philadelphia right here on the Team 980 pregame, coming up a little more than 15 minutes from right now. Whoa, Dave, are you in the speaker?
No.
That was loud.
It is loud. But they're playing disco music because, again, this is a throwback 70s, to the 70s and 80s. So I should have, I still like to bring it out every now and then. I should have brought out my powder blue leisure suit, but I didn't have it with me on this trip, unfortunately. Oh, it would have fit in tonight, though, perfectly.
I think you just wear it the next home game for fun, and people that listen to the Hoffman Show will know. Anyway, Dave, have a great call, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Man, Max, Dave and I have had some real fun adventures with him being in the speakers, if you will, over the years. I think Atlanta or Charlotte, one of those two, is like the running for the absolute loudest.
Yeah, that got me. I was like, whoa.
I was like, oh, hello. Hello. All right, PA announcer in Philly, you settled down there. We're trying to do a radio show. Anyway, this radio show is almost over because, as you just heard, pregame's 15 minutes away. I will come back and wrap it up with real things real people said in real microphones. A doozy. If you haven't heard what LeBron James said about Michael Jordan, that's not a fake tease, even though it sounds like something you teach a radio class with the two biggest names you can think of. That's a real tease. If you haven't heard what LeBron James said about Michael Jordan, we'll tell you next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Tomorrow, God, Max, I failed so badly. Tomorrow,
uh-oh.
Tab 99. I should have been saying this a lot more all show. Tab 99, tomorrow, outside the ballpark down at Navy Yard, right across from the center field entrance to Nats Park. We'll be broadcasting live. If you get there early, you'll hear Chris Russell, from the moon. Because that's how Chris Russell
from
rolls.
The entire block everywhere.
So most people know that corner of Navy Yard. Like, are we talking? Could you hear Chris if he's at Tap 99 and the door is open?
I think Chris said that he's going to be outside.
Oh God! If he's outside, good thing that my show starts at first pitch, because otherwise Chris would be distracting. You'd hear him on the Masson broadcast.
Oh yeah,
Bob Carpenter's final opening day ruined by loud radio host in the background.
If there's one man who could do it, it'd be Chris Russell.
And Chris, if you're listening, I said enhanced, not ruined. So if the voice you hear as you're, getting out of the Metro, it certainly as you're approaching Silver Diner.
Oh yeah.
Taco Rian and all the spots down there. Whatever else is, I think I might have just said the wrong place. Taco Rian down there? They're down there somewhere, right?
They are.
They might have been. They might not. I don't know. I haven't walked
there's
that way for
lunch in a while.
There's a
lot of turnover in businesses down in this neighborhood.
Yeah, there has been. There's some delicious restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of shout-outs if we wanted to give them. Right. If you're walking at, the Big Stick, you probably hear Chris Russell if he's outdoors.
Easily.
Afterwards, I'll be there. 4 o'clock. That's when my show starts. I know if you're going to pregame the Nats game, then you will probably be inside by that point. But going to be a good time there as of 4 o'clock broadcasting live at Tap 99. And then, you know, if you want to come after the game, if the game gets out of hand or you want to leave early, just come hang out, talk a little ball, whatever. And then we'll also be getting you set for the Maryland game tomorrow, because that's going to be the lead story tomorrow. Maryland, Florida tomorrow night. Very much looking forward to that. We will have a full preview on the show tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have Naki on amongst other guests. To wrap up this, let's see, what, anything else tomorrow? Not really, I guess. Logan and I are doing an episode of Take Command tomorrow, with Mike Renner from CBS Sports. So we've gotten to know Mike over the years. He and I actually share a totally unsports media related mutual friends. My guy G, Mike and I, if we hadn't already met at other things, we would have met at G's wedding coming up in September. But no, I saw Mike at the combine. I was like, hey man, we got to get you on the show. Give me a couple weeks here to, you know, unload all this free agency stuff, and then let's have you on and talk draft. And Mike and Logan love giving each other snuff. I think they text about draft stuff all the time. So that's always a really fun episode. Mike has joined us the past couple of years. So Mike Renner, CBS Sports, used to be Pro Football Focus. He's awesome on the draft stuff. So Renner with us tomorrow, and we'll probably play a snippet of you that for you on the show. Friday, short show, basketball following us here on the Team 980. Speaking of basketball, LeBron James was on Pat McAfee's show today. They talked about a ton of stuff because he's on for like an hour. And one thing in particular is getting traction, and that leads us to real things real people said into real microphones. All right, so LeBron James. All right, I know what's happening, Max. Hold on.
I do too.
There we go. All right, we're good. LeBron James was on Pat McAfee's show today, and he talked about his relationship with Kobe Bryant and also eventually with Michael Jordan. And turns out, with Jordan, the only peer or one of the few peers he has in NBA history, there's not much of a relationship.
I think it's because I'm still playing, you know, and MJ's, we all know MJ. Even if you don't know him personally, he's one of the most ruthless competitors there is. And till I'm done, and he doesn't have to look at me run up and down wearing the number 23, and every time my name is mentioned, it's mentioned with his. He's like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm on a golf course.
Don't talk to me right now. I'm on a back nine. Do not call me. Like I said, I wear 23 because of MJ, you know, and that shit, the inspiration that he gave me as a kid in Akron, Ohio, yep, that don't have much inspiration in your hometown. You look at something. It got to be somebody in sports, somebody in music, somebody on the TV screen. So, like, Will Smith from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michael Jordan playing for the Bulls, Jay-Z, Biggie, and Tupac. That was like,
yeah.
That was my inspirations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I needed that because I didn't have, like,
Lang.
Yeah, Lang. Be Jerome Lang. Yeah. He's like, yeah, hating on me and shit. So, like,
prick.
You know what I'm saying?
LeBron James is one of the classiest individuals that we've had in sports in a long, like, it. He's been in sports in the public eye for nearly 25 years. I mean, this dude was the 03 draft. People were talking about him as a sophomore. That SI cover was like 2001. It is 2025. And the fact that MJ treats him, or there's no real relationship. They don't talk. I mean, these are mega Nike athletes with lifetime Nike contracts. Like, they should be. They're arguably the only two peers that each other has. Like, if you want to say like Magic and Kareem or Larry Bird or whoever else is in their circle, fine. But these are the two, like, you can cover 98% of planet Earth by asking the question, who is the best basketball player of all time? And you'll get either LeBron or MJ. And the fact that they don't have a relationship, because MJ is so competitive that he can't stand watching LeBron. Like, bro, it's over. You retired a long time. Like, that, you're no longer competitive. You're not competing. Your time is done. You're just being an a-hole. And, like, that's the thing about watching, like, The Last Dance. And there is a part of it that you watch and you go, man, that dude was built different. Like, the ruthlessness. There is a psychopathic, sociopathic element to Michael Jordan that probably helped him win championships. But there's also a reason most of his teammates hate him, and it took Zen Master Phil Jackson to actually have him win a championship. And I guess what I'm saying is, I'd rather have LeBron James's four rings and not be a sociopath and have a family that loves me and friends and business partners and like happiness in my life than whatever sour grapes Michael Jordan has with two extra rings. And if that makes me a loser, fine, but I'm playing to win the game of life, not NBA trophies. And that's if I was an NBA player. Yes, winning is important. I'm not saying I want no trophies. But the whole point is the experience. Like, sports is about relationships and going through things together and enjoying that time. And the fact that Michael Jordan can't watch LeBron James as one of the few humans on the planet who understands what it's like to play at that level and be happy for him. And he's just like, I can't stand watching it. And there's no relationship there. That's sad, is what it is. And LeBron is a classy man. The show's over. See you tomorrow.